the hell?
That just shit itself.
It's playing on the stage. Yeah, it just shit itself.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, wow. What the hell? My microphone just is blowing out. There. That's unfortunate. Unplug that. Well, that was unexpected. That's,
Wow.
Yeah. I think I've just got a bad... Son of a... I think I just got a bad batch of cables tonight. Let's try that again. And it's only on one channel. Really? I give up. Okay. Well, we don't get our intro music tonight. This is Pure Decking for... That's like the second bad cable tonight. And I'm afraid to even screw it. I'm going to just turn that channel all the way off while I get the line fixed. Look at that. That's shitty. I need a different cable, I think. But in the meantime, there, let's see if that got it. Nope. It's pathetic. It's got to be like at the magic angle to work. That's strange. This is Pure Decking for Thursday, July 31st, 2014. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, being really overloaded at work, and really shitty cables. I'm Morps, and tonight I have lots and lots of cable fail. Along with RU486, The Madman, and Sard. What's going on, guys?
Not much. I'm taking the fire challenge right now. It's a little bit warm.
Nice. Yeah, that was just freaking pathetic. I don't even have a drink. I'm not doing too good here tonight. Work's been kicking my butt. My task list is like 4 pages long at this point. And it's like, oh yeah, this, oh yeah, review this, do this, and yeah, you'll have all that Monday, right? What? So, and hell, that's why I missed the show last week, actually. Was still working on work stuff at like 9:30. It's like, oh, well, that's no good. So, I don't know. What you guys been up to?
Not working.
Not working, that's, yeah.
I was gonna say the same thing as you, dude. Work has been busy. I started working today, and pretty much the next time I looked up at my clock, it was 2:30, and I was like, "Oh, I should probably get something to eat."
Yeah, that's sometimes helpful.
You could always fly me over, and I'll finish the deck off for you, Sard.
You okay?
Yeah,
good deal.
Just pay for the ticket, dude. Save the ticket, pick me up at LAX, and I'll just stay at your place till it's done.
Didn't you hear about that story about the dude that climbed into the landing gear? You should do that. Sard! I now have officially arrived.
Oh, wow.
I've got the soundboard positioned, and I'm afraid to touch it because of the cable. Madman, what have you been up to, man?
I've been answering questions from crazy or stupid people and looking forward to getting off work and drinking beer.
Nice.
Oh, it is International Beer Day.
It is International Beer Day. That's sad because I don't have a beer in front of me. Ah, spent too long troubleshooting. So, anyways, let's just jump right into it. I was going to do some tour stuff for the discussion topic tonight, but Psychros sent me a letter about, 6 hours ago that I've got to talk about it. I can't let it sit. I can't let it be. We've got to do this. So First thing he sent me in this letter was a link to an article that Richard Stallman wrote about the Swedish Pirate Party. Now, I've only got sections of the article, so if anything's out of context, it's not really intentional. It's just it's a very long article. And I will say up front, I'm not going to be attacking anything Stallman's written here, because compared to some of his writings, most of this stuff is fairly sane. Some of his suggestions are not really workable. But anyways, so in the article, he starts off talking about the copyright industry in Sweden inspired the launch of the first political party whose platform was to reduce copyright restrictions, the Pirate Party. And then the platform, they call it, Stallman, of course, writes digital restrictions management because, you know, he refuses to call things by their real name. He has to call them by the name he gives them. But, you know, legalization of non-commercial sharing of public works and shortening of copyright for commercial use to a 5-year period. 5 years after publication, any published work would go into public domain. If you're following this show, you're probably already familiar with a lot of what a lot of the different pirate parties promote. So this shouldn't be anything new. Stallman says he supports the changes in general, but the specific combination chosen by the Swedish Pirate Party backfires, ironically, in the special case of free software. He's saying he didn't think they intended to hurt free software, but he's kind of worked out what's going to happen here. So after 5 years, the source code of free software, of course, goes into public domain, just like the BSD code already does, and proprietary software developers would be able to include it in their programs. But the reverse is not true. Proprietary software is also restricted by EULAs, and users don't have access to the source code. So even if the copyright permits non-commercial sharing, the EULA probably forbids it. And because you don't have the source code, after the copyright's up, you have no way to reproduce the program. So you still don't, you know, you don't get the code after 5 years when the copyright's up. So the effect of terminating a program's copyright after 5 years is that free software and open source software would go into public domain after 5 years, but commercial software, closed source software, it would also go into public domain, but there's no onus on the developers to release the code. There's no requirement. So his proposal is that the Pirate Party include some kind of requirement that source code be put in escrow when binaries are released, so that 5 years later, the escrowed source code can then be released into the public domain. Of course, Stallman's an old lefty. He's all about using the power of government to enforce his views. But this idea of requiring you to, it's like, no, you must give up your source code and put it into escrow so that when the copyright's up, it's a fun concept, but it's all but impossible to work. So Cycros then sends me this letter. So after I saw this and immediately thought of Morpeus's often expressed view that software should be copyrighted rather than patented, here's the thing. If we require patented software to include the source code in the patent, much like we require patents of physical objects to contain information required to reproduce the object being patented, then when the patent expires, the software becomes public domain open source. It might not be enough to calm the likes of Stallman, and it probably wouldn't, because Stallman is a bit of an extremist on these kind of things. But, son of a bitch, I'm actually getting a call from work. Sorry, grab my show notes and keep going here.
Okay.
No. Go on, Sard. Do it.
Hello? Yeah.
Microphone muted.
Hey, man, what's going on? I don't know. What do you guys
do? What do you have on it? Don't puss out like that. Take the reins like a man and run the show. Man up. Don't just pass the buck.
I don't know. All right. I'm conflicted. I don't know. As far as...
I haven't read any of the material, and I'm just sort of beating you with a stick to make myself look good.
What do you think as far as copywriting code? I don't know. I mean, I guess it is one person's method, one person's way of solving a problem.
All I caught was something about man.
And then you talk about
copyright just can't last for 150 years.
Yeah. That's
also too, I think a lot of it a lot of the software out there that's written for, and especially commercial applications, is way too expensive to start with because of the copyright and then licensing
right.
agreements and stuff
but
like that.
The people that copyright it would argue that, you know, we're the only ones that do it like this. So therefore, we deserve to be paid for our specific type of code, our specific.
Yeah, but something you bought 10 years ago that's just barely been patched and updated, like, say, a software that runs a machine in a workshop or something like that, you can't keep charging the same amount for licensing fees each year for a software that's clearly out of date.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, where do you set the delineation, though? Like, there is freeware, which is cool. There's lots of different. There's a major freeware site, I forget what it is, but you can find all sorts of abandonware games and things like that. But I mean, that's from, you know, companies that have gone tits up completely, you know, and closed, and people have somehow gotten a hold of their source code or, you know, a copy of the game and put it up for other people to enjoy.
Yeah, I look at coding and stuff like that. It's the exact same thing as a house. You can make minor modifications to it. You can make major modifications to it. But at the end of the day, if you're not modding it, you shouldn't be paying for it to be there. You know what I mean? Well, like, you don't keep paying the concreter 10 years down the track a licensing fee for the concrete that he laid down.
Did you agree to do that with the contractor? You don't have to do business with these companies.
Yeah, but the EULAs are so cryptic that you could maybe, you know, do you guys read every single contract that you sign, word for everything? I mean, other than EULAs, like if that contractor that you did have do the concrete, what if he handed you a 13-page contract and was like, here, you need to sign this so I can pour this concrete in your front yard? And it does see at the point of him royalties for the next, you know, umpteen years, or whatever, however long the life of the concrete is. That's what they're doing with software.
I might be crazy, but I've actually read every financial contract I've entered in. Any car loan, any student loan, I've actually read the terms.
This is what you're agreeing to. Probably one of the few, yeah. One of the few that actually do that.
I read them, but I can't profess to understand every fucking line of it.
No, right. And one problem with our country is we're so litigious that all of the contracts take 5 pages to say something just because it has to be enforced in a court of law, and we've just gotten so far away from common sense that it has to be that wordy to cover your ass.
Right, and try and cover every single instance that you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
A lot of, I think what's wrong is a lot of people have lost common sense, and now they're saying, you know, well, because it doesn't specify this. Well, of course, it doesn't specify that. You know, we didn't know fucking, you know, pigs were going to, I don't know, genetically mutate. Now they're purple. The contract didn't, you know, foresee that happening. No one foresaw that happening. We can't help you now, you know, that's happened or whatever. A lot of lost common sense.
Yeah.
I think a lot of software problems would be solved just by reducing the amount of time things are copyrighted.
Yeah,
it's supposed to protect the author. If the author's dead, then his protections are over.
Well, yeah, but then what if a corporation, you know, that's what they're doing now. A corporation is patenting it or copywriting it. And, well, yeah, the founder, he's dead. But the corporation is still here.
Well, the corporation now, listen.
If it's 15 years for copyrights, 15 years the corporation's copyrights are up.
Yes. So what you're saying is a level playing field?
If their copyrights are up, even if they don't restrict, even if they don't release the source code, it's now legal to reverse engineer it. Linux plays DVDs, not because anyone gave them the source code, but because somebody cracked it by looking at what Windows was doing playing a DVD.
Right.
If somebody wants to do it and put the work into it, they'll get the source code. And if the copyright's up, then the people that own the source code no longer have any legal standing to sue them.
Yeah.
So the feeling is to go with like a generic, you know, set amount of time rather than, you know, an event or something in the company. You know, once you've made $6 million off of this, you know, you can't, it's no longer copyrighted. It's got to be a length of time or something.
A length of time. I don't believe you should be penalized because you make a good product.
Well, then the people that pro this are still going to say, you know, hey, I made a good product. I should be able to copyright this forever.
Sorry, but innovation only works if we allow people to build on what you've made. If we let the Wright brothers keep the patent on the airplane forever, Boeing wouldn't exist, and we probably wouldn't have supersonic aircraft. Because supersonic aircraft use the same principles that were covered by the patent the Wright brothers had. They didn't invent that shit.
Yeah. The Wright brothers were also thrown their shoulders of other individuals.
Exclusivity, and then it's open to the world to use.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you're an excellent company, you'll make the improvements. And if you make a good product, I'll keep buying it from you.
Right. And that's where innovation and evolution comes in.
For example, this doesn't fit like software, but I just watched Batman Arkham Asylum. It's an animated movie. The first time I watched it pirated. But I like the DC animated movies. I've bought every one of them. I'm buying it tomorrow when I cash my check.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing either. Like, I haven't bought a DVD in years.
Well, I don't buy a lot of DVDs, but something like that, they're not going to make any money. It wasn't a theatrical release. Well, I'm not saying they're not going to make any money. They're going to make money. But I want them to keep making those movies, so I buy them. If a software company puts out something that is awesome, I'll keep buying their stuff.
That'd be why Activision's going broke.
Well, and like I said, that's why a lot of other software companies would argue against that, saying, you know, we made it, it's awesome, it's ours. Yeah, I agree, it prevents from innovation and change and capitalism, I guess, in that sense.
And for 15 or 20 years, let it be theirs. The time frame I'm up to arguing about, but the in perpetuity, if you were to apply that to other things, how many different vampire stories have there been?
Yeah, I mean, hundreds.
How many different stories involving aliens? If you copyright the idea, I own every story that involves aliens. Well, who copyrighted it? If it was Doctor Who, Star Trek might not exist. I'm a Trekkie. An idea, once it's in public domain for so long, it's public.
That makes sense to me. I don't disagree with that at all.
The whole idea of you have to make it easier for them to undo your shit, I don't think a company has to do that. But if you're already selling your product, I'll just go buy it, and if I think it's worth ripping off, I'll reverse engineer it when your copyright's up, and I will see how awesome I am at making your product better.
Yeah. Go with that.
Yeah.
I didn't actually look at the article. Was he arguing that after so much F, you've made so much money, you shouldn't own a product anymore?
I didn't really understand where he was going with it, because he said he was going to get into all these writings of this dude. But I haven't read the paper, so I can't talk on it. And what the Pirate Party's saying, I was hoping Morps could give more info.
It's saying
on
after
it.
5 years. I think 5 years might be a little short.
I'd go with 7.
Was it a normal patent 10 or 20 or something like that? I forget.
I think it's 20. I would go with 20. Make it the same as a regular patent. After 20 years, it's public domain. Mickey Mouse is public domain.
Yeah, but it must be one rule for everyone.
Yeah.
Every, you know.
Right. Yeah, Cycros is saying 17 years.
17? Yeah. I'm cool with 17.
So, but make it patented instead of copyright, because copyright never expires, is what we're saying.
But don't Disney repatent everything?
Copyright
all the time?
But copyrights do expire. I have Alice in Wonderland. It's no longer copyrighted.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm confused. What's the difference between a copyright and a patent?
A patent applies to a physical thing or invention. A copyright is generally words or an idea. Songs can be copyrighted, but they can't be patented. A patent generally is a thing.
Yeah,
it's only recently that things were also languages. Like some people argue that a computer program is a language. It's writing. Yes, it does allow your computer to do something, but it's just a bunch of writing, so it should be copyrighted. And some people are arguing that it's an actual object that can be patented. But the difference traditionally was a patent belonged to an invention, an object. A copyright was for like a song or a work of literature.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why works of art also fall under copyright, but they do, even though traditionally paintings, once you painted one, that was the only one of that one that existed.
You can't even take a photo of them anymore without being sued.
Yeah. Copyright infringement.
Which is horseshit.
Now, can you extend a patent? Is that another good delineation of them?
Original patents, I don't think, can be extended. But if you were to come up with an improvement, this happens a lot in pharmaceuticals in our country. If you patent a heart medication, and then you can repatent that same formula just by a slight tweak by making like time release instead of releasing all at once. That's what happens with most of our medications.
Okay, yeah, because they're claiming it's a different product.
Yeah, so now you only need to take it once a day instead of three times a day. But the active ingredient, the thing that's actually keeping your heart working, is the exact same in both products.
Okay.
But that's one way they're getting around and extending their patents.
Makes sense. Okay.
Makes sense, but it's fucking unfair.
Well, if you look at the way our patent system is actually set up to work, for something to be patented, it has to be unique and unforeseeable by someone in that field. So you could argue that a time-released version of the same product shouldn't be repatentable because there's nothing actually unique or innovative about it. Someone could have, anyone in that field could decide, we can wrap it in this slower digestible enzyme to make it release over time. Now, the idea of time release could be patented for a bit. But that's one problem we're having with our patent system, is everything is being patented instead of something that's unique and actually planned out. You don't even have to have a design for something anymore to patent it. And that's stupid. Yeah.
Patent an idea now, can't you?
Yes. You don't have to have an actual plan on a lot of things. That's where one of the podcast trolls is getting into doing people. He had patented the idea of broadcasting something over the internet. He didn't patent, like, a way of doing it. He just said, I had this idea, and he actually got someone to issue him a patent for it without any of the mechanics behind podcasting.
See, shit like that. How the fuck does that happen? Like, who's the
that's
dude
an idiot
that
the patent
said,
office.
Okay.
That should be invalidated.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
A lot of patents that should be invalidated.
What makes you qualified to say, okay, yes, this deserves a patent, no, this doesn't deserve a patent? Because it sounds like, you know, they're just handing them out to you, apply, you pretty much get it. That's what
I don't know if it's that straightforward, but yeah, a lot of patents shouldn't exist. And I know FreedomWorks is at least working on getting some of those revoked in the United States.
Well, that's good.
And if I'm wrong about any other country, I'm only speaking from what I know about the United States, because that's the only government I've looked in depth into.
And I know little to nothing about patenting laws in this country.
But yeah, that's all of its messages. Yeah, I wonder if they're any different there.
They are, but we have treaties with most every developed country, so we try to keep our patent laws in line with each other. Now, if this comes up with the U.S. and China a lot, if one of us extends copyright, the other one immediately does it. And that's one reason copyright's up to like 150 years now.
Wow, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's excessive, right? 150 years.
Yes.
Does everyone agree on that?
That's for a while the Constitution was still copyrighted.
Yeah.
Wow.
150 years is way too long.
So wait, nobody could be exactly like America for 150 years?
I don't think we ever actually copyrighted the Constitution, but that was my argument, yeah.
It'd be interesting if you could copyright your Constitution.
But it was based on the Rights of Man and a few other earlier works. I would say it's a derivative work, if anything else.
Message could not be delivered for 5 days. Fair enough.
At least a big chunk if it's a derivative work. I don't think anyone else said black people were 3/5 of a man, so beat out the rest of the world on that one. Have we beat this to a dead horse, or is there any other thing to discuss?
We have, pretty much, and from what I understand is that Wolfside is pretty much planned out all in his head, and we just follow like herd animals. Because the leader has fallen off a cliff, I'm set to wander the paddock, rubbing my genitals up and down the electric fence.
Yeah, I mean, I could give a shot at reading some of these stories, but I have no idea what any of them talk about.
I have me the man. This is why I stay away from the show notes each week, as I can just put a fresh whatever comes out the top of my head on it. I don't want to think about it.
Exactly, it's the same here. It's better to discuss while you're thinking about it.
But
I haven't pre-read any of this shit.
Yeah, so while we're here, I'm just going to go ahead and pimp out my new app in the App Store. The I Have Nothing game app is out. If you can find it, you truly have nothing. pretty much, if you get the app, it tells you to send all your shit to me, and then you will have nothing.
Perfect.
Great game. See, sounds if you'll be the first one to win. The winner will be judged by me in 1 year. If you're living like a hobo under a bridge, you're pretty much going to win the award.
The real question, though, is, have you copyrighted it?
I wouldn't want to be honest.
So what are you going to do when there's 15 other I Have Nothing apps that pop up in the App Store?
Dude, if they can make money off it, go for them. Go for it.
You don't want your cut? Don't you have that patented, copyrighted?
Dude, I don't want money. Money sucks. You know, money makes life too easy. I like to play the game on ultra hard.
You know? Well, I wouldn't mind playing it on easy for a while and, you know, being globe hop like mad. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Buy Bentleys just to set them on fire. I've been poor once. See how the other half lives.
I've been rich once. I like this poor thing a lot better than being rich, actually. A little more exciting, whether you're gonna have like food or ramen this week, like, because I've spent the last 2 days living on ramen. It'd be fucking great. 2 packets of noodles a day. I envy you kids in college, living like kings.
Oh, you want to move on to the first story from the BBC?
If you'd like to read it.
What it says. Developers of software used to access Tor, an otherwise hard to reach part of the internet, have disclosed that an attack on the network may have unmasked users for 5 months. So if anyone's been using Tor to smuggle their child porn or other unmentionables, you've been mentioned. Good luck.
Good. Good. That's all I can say. Good. But, I mean, if you're still fucking around on Tor after everything got pwned, what was it, about 9 months ago? Then, yeah, good luck to you.
Well, this is kind of old-ish news, because I know we've had stories in the past about people modifying or altering the exit nodes. So if you were unlucky enough to go through a modified exit node, they could possibly somehow... trace the chain back to your originating IP address.
I mean, really, what are you using it for? If you're not child pornography or the Silk Road?
Well, in freer countries, I see your point, because the only reason we would use it is to do something like that. But look at China or Saudi Arabia, where if you have the wrong political view, you're ostracized and can lose everything. They actually use Tor for legitimate political discussions.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to get shot in the head.
Well,
but
That's my big defense for any of the encryption softwares. Yes, I can say in my nice plushy apartment in my free country where I can cuss out the president to his face without fear of anything happening to me, you don't need to be secret. But move over to a part of the country where if you fart the wrong way in the capital city, the king can have you beheaded. There might be some the need for anonymity when discussing things.
Don't discuss those things.
Oh, ideas are never wrong.
Safety first.
I mean, I see the point of protecting yourself, but...
If you're ever going to get any sort of political change or anything, you have to express those ideas.
Like, yeah, you can't make the world better if you keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Cyrus put it very similar to in IRC. If you're in Iran, you don't care that the NSA can break Tor. You just care that Iran can't break Tor.
Good point, Cyrus.
Yeah, I'll give you that, but... thought gone. Thought totally gone.
The Tor Project says it believes the assault was designed to de-anonymize the internet address of people operating and visiting hidden sites.
I'd like to think that the average dissident in a country where they may be killed for speaking out would have enough intelligence not just to use Tor on their home computer, if you know what I mean.
And they probably do, but I still see any tool that can help them spread the word and possibly fix their country is a good one. I'm very much against using social media. I hate it. But that's because in my country, all it's used for is to sell me stupid shit and to let the government spy on me.
Yeah.
For a while in Ukraine, the only real news we were getting was out of people on social media posting it to Facebook. Same thing with the last riots in Iran when the people actually attempted to rise up and do something about their corrupt government. They were crushed and killed horribly. I'm sorry about that. But the only real news we were getting didn't come from BBC. They were reading press releases and whatever they could make up. Same thing with Fox News. The real news was coming from people on social networks. How much of it I can believe, I'm still questioning.
Yeah.
But they were being used for a good purpose.
Wait. Even the pictures you can't believe, man. Like that's the thing. Getting the actual quality of the story comes down to yourself as an investigative journalist yourself these days. With the whole all the different wars going on, and like how many of you guys get your information via the news media or social networking or from what I'm sending through all the fucking time or banging on about every morning. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, all those videos I sent you, Saad, of the Syrian uprising. Have you seen any of that anywhere else?
No.
Like, government tank, first-person shooter vision. things like that. You won't even see it on any commercial news network or social media outlet because nobody wants to show the real truth of that situation. It's even the same here. My government, we're said to be a free and open society, refuses to talk to the media about any policies it's implementing. There's a do not talk to the media policy.
That is fucking stupid.
Well, how can you look stupid if no one's covering your stupidity?
Right.
That's the way
no
they look
knows
at it.
About it.
If no one knows, then no one gives a shit.
And but, the media in your country, at every commercial break between any show, it should just pop up a nice advertisement. Your government is corrupt and still won't talk to us about it.
It does. It's called the Australian Broadcasting entity. It's the ABC. It is run, owned, and operated by the government, but it's the first one screaming about how corrupt the government is. So there is still some freedom of the press, but the press isn't free to collect all the information because the information isn't being forthcoming from the government. And when they say, okay, today in the parliament, they debated this bill. We asked Senator so-and-so about it. He refused to comment. So we went to Senator so-and-so. He refused to comment. Here's what we believe it was all about. So they can't actually get statements of fact from the people handling these bills.
Time for them to cease to be in office. But back to Tor.
Yeah.
The Tor Project said it believes the infiltration had been carried out by two university researchers who claimed at the start of July to have exploited fundamental flaws in Tor's design to allow them to unmask so-called darknet users. If they publicize their work, I'm going to say good to them, because it will allow Tor to fix itself and be a better system.
Yeah. So they weren't in league with any acronym of government?
All the acronyms do a lot of funding of our universities for such projects. They might not have been directly funded by any such acronym, but I do know every major university in my state does deal with many acronyms for research projects.
Wow.
So awesome. I don't know if these researchers were working on a direct grant from the NSA or the CIA or the name your alphabet soup. But it could have been. That's kind of moving on to conspiracy theory. What will tell us the truth on that is, are they going to be public papers? If they're public papers, then they were probably just curious, because a lot of people will just do this work because right. they're at a university getting paid shit tons of money to think.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, hold up. The two security experts, Alexander, some Viking name, we're going to call him the Viking from here on out in the story.
Excellent.
And Michael McCord. Michael McCord and the Viking had been due to give a talk at Black Hat. So this could actually be some legitimate people doing work to better humanity in Las Vegas next week. However, it was canceled because lawyers said no.
Surprise, surprise.
So yeah. They were probably researchers doing this on their own, and then the alphabet soup said, this is useful, don't talk about it.
Because people will figure out how to subvert it.
It will be fixed.
And let me guess, one of these men will soon to commit suicide via drug overdose or setting himself on fire in a park.
Hey, that's a big craze on the internet right now. We don't know that either of these people aren't black.
Oh, man. Setting self on fire. Yeah, take the fire challenge. You going to take the fire challenge, Sod?
I'm good, thanks.
You don't even know what we're talking about, do you?
Nope.
I mean, this is a huge craze right now. For some reason, the last 3 days, it's really taken off. People lighting themselves on fire and filming it and then putting it on the internet.
That sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I thought there was only like 5 or 6 videos around. I went looking a little bit further this morning after we were having a good old chuckle at it. There's some really bad ones out there. There's one where a dude dies. Like literally inhales the flames and snuffs himself. It's amazing. These people are stupid. It's up there with the hot water challenge. Wait.
All right. Which one's the hot water challenge?
You don't know the hot water challenge?
Google that one, too.
I don't think so.
All right. So remember that really deep winter you guys had last year?
Yeah.
How it was really cold and people were throwing like boiling water into the air and it was turning into snow?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people have been doing that in the summertime, but throwing the hot water on other people.
Yeah, that's not smart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up there, man.
The researchers have released some notes so that you can look for these attacks in the wild, as they call it.
Oh, cool.
So Tor may, in a roundabout way, actually get the research notes if they haven't already directly gotten it. Wait a minute, Tor's open source, isn't it?
Yes, it is, I believe.
Yeah. So somebody should be working on this.
Yeah.
Top men.
They haven't. They haven't answered emails lately, so we don't know that they haven't been black bagged yet. That's not actually part of this article. That was just my own insertions.
Yeah, I'd go with that too. We haven't heard from them for a couple of days, you know.
Well, it's one of those things. I'm sure their research had to have been shared, so I bet someone has it somewhere.
Do you get really nervous when you're working on stuff like this now if you're a researcher?
I would think so, man. Just in case you stumble across something, you're like, oh shit, like this has like real world applications.
Patient?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I would be a little wearing the brown pants if I came up with something like this. And this is why I don't do research to further mankind.
Oh, dude.
What's that?
This is kind of interesting. The next story is from The Guardian. It's also talking about Tor. Tor received more than $108 million in funding from the U.S. government in 2013.
Nice.
Even while the NSA was reportedly trying to destroy the network. That's awesome. Way to go. There's no hypocrisy there or anything.
Yeah.
The American government pretty much funds the largest underground child pornography sales arena.
According to Tor's project's list of annual funding statements, the organization received $1,822,907 from the U.S. government in 2013.
Wow.
The majority of that came in the form of pass-through grants, and everyone wonders why I'm against the government granting money to anything. It shouldn't be doing it. Not that I have a problem giving money to Tor, but this just shows how stupid the United States government is. It's giving money to something that many of its agencies are actively attempting to destroy.
Like I said, there's no hypocrisy here or anything.
Dude, I would rather see the money go towards Tor than half of these modern art projects that you see. Oh, lady gets, she shits eggs out her vagina. $30 million or whatever it was for that installation.
Oh. Yeah.
Awesome.
The Academy for the Arts in the United States should be rounded up and shot, and then that money allocated to something else.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before they build a 50-foot My Little Pony statue for Detroit as to try and encourage brony tourism.
What's the SRI? Part of the U.S. government, and it was the largest contributor to Tor.
SRI? Let me look that up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nonprofit research and development center that aims to bridge the gap between abstract research and industry.
Yep. It's also an Indian news corporation.
Nice.
Yeah, the Research and Innovation Center.
The funds also originated from the U.S. Department of State. The State Department is funding Tor.
Yeah, well, they do defense and security and computing.
And Cypress says spies.
Spies?
Yeah, oh. Spies. U.S. And spies.
Right after the State Department, you know who else gave money to Tor? The Department of Defense.
Nice.
It's a military project.
Well, SRI could be the Sugar Research Institute as well.
It also received direct funding from the National Science Foundation.
Well, that seems legit.
And more money from the State Department. The State Department's listed twice. I don't know if that's a typo or if they just gave them money twice.
Well, they just had a bit left over behind the couch after a big night of party and went, there you go.
So, the next time you're buying your cocaine through a Tornode, thank the United States government.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Awesome. I love it. I just defended Tor saying it was also a legitimate way for people in third world countries to communicate and try to enact political change. What do I close the story out on? Let's buy cocaine. I am in a first world country.
And that's why the world has a drug problem.
Hey, awesome. It also helps release poverty. All those guys growing coca leaves are dirt poor until I buy my smack.
Yeah, but by the time you get it, man, it's been marked up so much. I'd like to see a grassroots campaign. You know, what do they call it?
Buy directly from the farmers for your coke.
Yeah, buy your coca directly from the farmer. Okay. I'd like to see that. Buy your weeds directly from a Mexican guy. I think it'd be much better.
I would like to inform you that the Daniel Boone National Forest in my backyard is one of the world's largest producers of marijuana, and we are very proud about that in my state.
That would be good, a grassroots campaign to get the middleman cut out, you know? Bring the price of drugs down, put more money on the farmer's plate. Great.
So, I'm really sorry about that, guys.
We did our best, Papa Bear.
Yeah.
We got through two stories.
Got through two stories. Oh, well. So, where are we?
The
British Police
one.
Intelligence Property Crimes Unit started to...
On the discussion, where'd you guys end up wrapping up on that? Because I saw Spike was trying to argue with you in the chat.
We sort of took the train left when it was meant to be going right. And then the last two carriages sort of fell off.
Ah, well, the only thing I was going to say on it was my problem with patenting software is you lock software. With copyright, you have to have a fairly significant amount of the original work reproduced to be infringing copyright. With patent, anything that even kind of looks like it could potentially get you sued. So it's like, you know, you get one VoIP solution because that's the patented VoIP solution, that kind of thing. So.
Well, we kind of came to the idea of limit the number of years it could be copyrighted.
Oh, absolutely.
And then it's good. And we were kind of discussing the number of years. I was cool, I think, leaving it off at 10. And it was ranging somewhere between 10 and 20.
Fair ball. Yeah, I mean, it's all rational. The 78 years plus the life of the author plus the life of his company.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not thinking anything larger than 20 years on that one.
I agree. All right. So we're up to the Ars Technica article?
Yes.
Yep. All right.
This is hilarious. The British Police Intellectual Property Crime Unit has started to replace advertising on copyright-infringing websites with official warnings telling users that the site is under criminal investigation. The sites in question are those that have been identified as hosting copyright-infringing content and reported to the PIPCU by rights holders. So, yeah, somebody's calling them up and complaining. And so they go in and, you know, officers from the unit evaluate the sites to verify that they're infringing copyright. They then contact the site owner and give them an opportunity to correct their behavior and operate legitimately. It's like, oh, well, I disagree with your interpretation of copyright law. I mean, it's like, correct your behavior. It's like, yes, you will go to the camps. If that fails, PIPCU can then get the site taken down by contacting the domain registrar, replacing the site's ads with scary warnings, or adding the sites to the infringing website list. When the site is added to that list, the information is fed back to a group of 60 marketing agencies, advertising technology companies, and brands responsible for placing ads. They're then asked to stop placing ads on these sites, so they blackball you. In order to get PIPCU's banners on copyright-infringing sites, the police have partnered with content verification company Project Sunblock. Who names a company that? Where do you come up with Project Sunblock as a company name? It's like, that's like a CIA operation name.
Maybe that's what it is.
Ooh. Project Sunblock maintains the list of infringing websites and then makes sure that when clients' advertisements are going to be delivered to one of those sites, the police banners are served as a replacement. Neither Project Sunblock nor the police pay for this ad placement. They simply serve an alternative ad. So, yeah, this is the government stepping into the advertising agency and saying, no, no, we don't like them. Instead of your advertising, you're going to place this banner that says you're a horrible person and should, you know, go have your fingers cut off for pirating music. Project Sunblock then reports back to the client which ads have been blocked and on how many occasions. I wonder if the people have to, if they, I wonder if they have to pay for the ads that are not displayed because the police are intercepting them. This approach has been adopted after many big brands were found to be advertising on sites hosting pirated content. These sites tend to place their ad inventory into ad networks and exchanges to generate revenue from the audiences they attract, so well-respected brands inadvertently find themselves sponsoring piracy. This is the latest phase of Operation Creative. Good Lord, these names. An initiative launched in partnership between the police and the creative industries that aims to disrupt online piracy by targeting those sites, blah, 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 blah. Now, here's the fun part. Head of PIPCU Andy Fife said that copyright-infringing websites are making huge sums of money through ad placement. Sure they are. So disrupting advertising on these sites is crucial. This work also helps us to protect consumers. When adverts from well-known brands appear on illegal websites, they give them the look of legitimacy. I don't know. I've seen some of those ads. And inadvertently fool customers into thinking the site is authentic because we believe everyone on the internet is a moron.
But if it has a advertisement for a penis-enlarging pill, it's a safe website, damn it.
That's right.
It's going to tell me that it can make my junk bigger and let me watch Game of Thrones.
Ooh, this one says I'm the millionth visitor. Click to get my iPad. Awesome.
I mean, that's actually completely legitimate.
I want to see these banners.
I was just going to say, did you see the image of them?
Oh, no, I didn't. Was there one on the story?
Not on that story. I just opened it up, but let me try and find it. I think it was on Torrent Freak also, and they actually had pictures of the banners.
Let's see. It's originally on Wired. I wonder if Wired has the pictures. No.
Wouldn't see them anyway with ad blocker.
That's actually a good point. I've got ad block and no script on this machine.
Yeah, so I'm not going to see these police ads anyway.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, Wired has some of the pictures. Okay.
Okay.
This website has been reported to the police. Please close the browser page containing this. It just says close the page. City of London Police. Illegal downloading is a crime. Please close the browser page containing this website. Wow.
What if I wasn't downloading? What if I was streaming? Is that still a crime?
Apparently.
Am I good?
Well,
downloading.
Yeah. At this point, anything that upsets Hollywood executives is now a crime. So.
Wow.
Man, I guess I should stop reading books.
Yeah, you can't. You know, your usage fees can't be properly assessed in books due to their non-electronic nature. God.
Yeah, but
did
the battery
really
life on my Game of Thrones
that?
Series is great.
What'd you say? Are you?
Did you really just say that without missing a beat, like you've rehearsed it many a times about books?
What did I say?
I'll have to recheck it, but I'm going to clip it out. It was great. Something about we can't register your usage because it's not an electronic device.
Oh, okay.
Reading that book.
I just spit it out, whatever it was. I'm just saying whatever comes on my head. I don't even know what I said.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I just love that. Yeah, no, these advertisers make consumers think the site is authentic. I mean, I just imagine this guy, you know, standing at the podium, cross-eyed, you know, twitching.
I'm fairly certain watching the latest Marvel Comics movie a week before it's due in theaters, where all the subtitles are some weird Asian character, gave me all the information I needed to know about the legitimacy of that website.
I'm pretty sure it's Korean, but anyways.
What, most DVDs look like they're cam shot before they age properly, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's like wine, dude. Those movies, when you first watch them, they're really, really bad quality. Give them a few months, they age nicely.
Yeah, you come back a few months later and they all have DVD quality rips on them now.
Exactly.
Nice. this. You're continuing in the realm of the absurd. This next one is from theregister.co.uk. Russia has asked SAP and Apple to hand over their product's source code so it can be tested for spyware.
I like it.
Okay, because they're going to do that.
Not like Russia's going to use that to, I don't know, make iPair.
No, no, they're not going to make iPair, but they're going to figure out how to write viruses for the iPad. That, I mean...
Good point.
The rest of the story. The nation's Ministry of Communications and Mass Media announced the request on Wednesday. The shrink-wrapped statement about the request features Communication Minister Nikolai Nikrofov, if I said that right, Edward Snowden's revelations prove some IT products are used to spy on Russia. Microsoft, he says, happily allowed the inspection of its source code. So,
really?
Yeah, Microsoft's already given them the code. Apple and SAP should do likewise for the following reasons. It is obvious that those companies that disclose the source codes of their programs, not hiding anything, but those who do not intend to cooperate with Russia on this issue may have undeclared capabilities in their products. There's also a veiled threat that vendors who don't submit for testing may find the use of such software and hardware in public companies or budget projects remains uncertain because they themselves state customers will abandon the untested product in favor of trusted solutions. Yeah, this is the, you have nothing to hide argument for one thing. But Microsoft has already let Russia look at their source code.
So Internet Explorer is even less secure than it was last month.
Yes. Yeah.
So I may have to look into sandboxing finally. I do believe that was covered on some early digital dojos.
Yep. Actually, China raided a Microsoft office to get their code. So, I mean...
Raided it?
Oh, yeah, they raided an office. It was a story I was going to have on Decking last week before I figured out that I wasn't having Decking last week. Microsoft said they were confused because they would have given it to them. So,
I hadn't heard that.
But, yeah, so even less reason to trust Windows now. Hell, Russian malware. I mean, once you've got the code, I mean, shit.
They could even make it look like a legitimate Windows update.
Thanks, Madman.
So everyone remember, auto update is good. It helps to keep your Windows machine patched.
Well,
and
hell,
secure.
Actually, mentioning China, they got in the very tail end of the article here. China banned Windows 8 apparently on security grounds. So they might be onto something with that one. My Windows 8 laptop suffers a bit. I'll tell you, it's. You can tell that operating system has issues. let's see. Next story here is from the Star Tribune. It's just a quick follow-up. U.S. law enforcement can force Microsoft to turn over emails at stores in Ireland. A judge ruled in a case that technology companies have rallied around as they pursue billions of dollars in data storage business abroad. A couple of weeks ago, we had the story on Decking where the prosecutor was claiming that because Microsoft was an American company, even though they were storing data abroad, they still had to turn it over because the U.S. government asked for it, basically, even though it wasn't. It was on an Irish citizen stored in Ireland. But because Microsoft has a U.S. base, the court said, nope, you got to turn it over, even though Microsoft raised a jurisdictional question.
That's yet another reason why U.S. companies are moving overseas.
Yeah. I just wanted to do the quick follow-up that, yeah, the judge said, yes, you have to turn it over. So, now, this raises an interesting question. You know, if they're making Microsoft turn over data on an Irish citizen stored in an Irish server, but because it's a Microsoft server, even though I'm sure Microsoft probably has a... Well, certainly, I know they have European arm. I don't know if they have individual countries in Europe. But I'm betting they have a UK office, which is probably where that account would be managed out of. Because it's the same parent company the U.S. government claims they can force them to turn over this data. That's...
Did they at least show that he accessed the account in the U.S.?
I don't think so.
Say that would give them standing.
I don't think so. I think this is. I think they're just concerned he's a terrorist. So.
Oh God, he's gonna blow up his pants. We have to search everything about his life, and he has no constitutional protections.
Well, I'm just thinking. Okay, what if I went and got, say, a VPS in the UK, right? Just rented a server, right? I mean, it's no big deal to do that. So I'd have a server, physically located in the UK. I'm a United States citizen. Actually, let's use somebody who's on the show. It's an easier example. I rent a server in Australia. I set it up so that RU can store stuff on it. Right? I never do anything with his data. I never see his data. I don't look at it. I don't have anything to do with it. I just happen to set up the server. Can I be subpoenaed for his data under that? Yes, I can. And that scares me a lot because, that can easily be extrapolated out to anything, practically. Unless you establish completely separate legal entities in other countries, if you have a tie back to the United States, they can force you to turn over anything they want.
Yeah,
that's scary.
Exactly. What the fuck happened to yours?
They don't have jurisdiction unless they can show that he accessed that data in the U.S.
Right.
I think they were claiming he was communicating with somebody in the U.S.
But was he physically in the U.S. logging into his email that was in Ireland?
I don't know anymore. I don't remember.
I could see if he was physically in the U.S. accessing the data, I could see them arguing that they have jurisdiction over that data, or at least a right to get it. I would still say they should contact Ireland because we're supposedly allies and have the Irish government help them. But I could see where they would have an argument of you have to turn that over. You accessed it at a 7-Eleven in Bloomington, Ohio. And we have jurisdiction in Bloomington, Ohio.
Well, they're arguing, this article is talking about, this is going to hurt cloud computing because nobody's going to trust data stored anywhere on by American companies. But nothing about actually whether or not. Agreeing to the findings of the magistrate judge who approved a sealed search warrant in December for a consumer email account that Microsoft stores in Dublin, Ireland. U.S. investigations were seeking information as part of a narcotics investigation. So it wasn't even terrorism, it was drugs. There's not enough information here to even know. I guess he was just emailing somebody in the States. Because it's an Irish email account.
Well, if he's in Ireland and emailing someone in the States, then the States don't have jurisdiction over his email information in Ireland.
He emailed.
Yeah, they could get it from the person he emailed.
Yeah.
But the way I'm seeing it, as far as I'm also looking at it from the cloud computing standpoint, if I set up a company in Bloomington, Ohio, but all of my servers are in India, my company is still accessing that information in Bloomington, Ohio. So if I'm, using it to store nothing but child porn and videos of me shooting people in the head, a subpoena to me should be sufficient to get that information. They would have jurisdiction. They shouldn't have to go to India to get my information or subpoena India.
Yeah.
But they would have to show this guy was in our jurisdiction and accessing this information in our jurisdiction for them to have jurisdiction.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. Microsoft is arguing they didn't, so I don't know. Let's see. Last story up is from thestate.com. South Carolina officials are looking for a person they say tried to use a drone to sneak cell phones and other contraband into a maximum security prison. And by drone, I wonder if they mean remote control helicopter with a box duct taped to it. Corrections Department...
Quadcopter, actually.
Yeah, that. Corrections Department spokeswoman Stephanie Givens said Wednesday that officials found a crashed drone in bushes outside of Lee Correctional Institution earlier this year. At the site, Givens said the officials also found contraband materials, including cell phones, tobacco products, and marijuana. One man has been arrested and charged with trying to give contraband materials to inmates, and authorities are looking for a second subject. Givens said this is the first time officials know of a drone being used to smuggle banned items into a prison. It's a,
that's horseshit.
Much better way is a football.
Yeah, you can just throw it, and if you miss, oh, sorry, sir, we were just throwing a football.
Yeah. But
what are you doing playing football next to a maximum security prison there, Timmy? Just asking the question.
Oh, that's a maximum security prison? I thought that was a high school.
One of those is in Memphis next to a residential area. I was at home.
I didn't realize the barbed wire was pointing inward, officer.
Yeah.
You just have to have a good enough arm to get past both walls. The last person I know of that did this got it past the first wall, and it landed in the no man's land between the prison yard and the outer wall, and then couldn't outrun the cops. He failed on two accounts. One, not having an arm good enough to smuggle in stuff, and two, not being able to outrun the cops through a residential neighborhood. They had to leave the damn prison to get to him first.
Wow. Lack of vehicle much?
Lack of preparation.
I'm thinking pickup truck and a ball launcher. Or even just a couple of people in one of those big slingshots they use for water balloons.
I don't know why they just don't do what the couple in Australia did. Hired a helicopter, fly it into the wreck area. Everyone jumps on, the helicopter flies out.
That sounds like a good plot for a movie. I mean,
no, this really happened. This woman, she hired a helicopter and a pilot, pulled a gun on the pilot, and then flew into the wreck area, grabbed the prisoner, and they left. Yeah,
nice.
True story. But no, that's not the first time drones have been used. We had a couple of stories on IHN way back, because it was around the same time as the cat got caught in a Peruvian jail. And they had pigeons being smuggling cocaine.
Nice.
As well. Homing pigeons. So, yeah, it's not the first time, and it won't be the last.
Let's see if this works. All right, we have a soundboard with no static for the time being. I need to replace that cord.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, don't
touch it.
Exactly, don't touch it. So the first thing I have is from blogs.technic.com. Microsoft has updated Emmet to version 5. If you don't know, Emmet is a little Windows tool that adds a whole bunch of extra mitigations to Windows. The last time I played with it, it was actually really good at preventing a lot of the major buffer overflow attacks. You know, whatever caused the crash would still crash out, but the exploit would fail to run kind of thing. Microsoft is usually trialing a lot of their mitigations and security fixes in Emmet before actually making them part of Windows, because that was the other thing is Emmet broke a lot of things, notably Netflix. So,
oops.
Yeah, turns out it was preventing Silverlight from running.
I was just gonna say, but wait, Netflix uses Silverlight. Why would Microsoft break their own product?
Yeah,
that's weird. Like, the right hand doesn't know what the fuck the left hand is doing.
I'd say that's probably about accurate. But, yeah, if you keep up with such things, Emmet is actually a really good tool. It's hard to push in a corporate environment because it does break a lot of programs. You have to test it. But if you've got an environment that's tightly controlled enough that you actually can control what programs should and should not be on a machine, it's a fantastic tool because it kills a lot of exploits, especially browser-based stuff.
That's awesome. But like I said, I think that's pretty limited in its scope, though.
It gets in the way of a lot of things, so it's really hard argument to make that this should be on everything. Just as a fun example, where I work, we actually have Pandora blocked. Because bandwidth concerns mainly. And the other day, I was handed a help desk ticket. Somebody didn't understand why Pandora didn't work, so they called the help desk, and the help desk filled out a ticket and sent it on. You know, somebody was asking for help because they couldn't get Pandora to install because it was blocked. And the help desk people put in ticket, yeah, we've got this blocked. Somebody pulled down the downloader on a on an unblocked machine and put it on the network so we can help this person.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, you take that kind of mentality, and then you take something like this, which would probably break, God knows what. Yeah, good luck getting it pushed anywhere.
Right. Well, it would have to be like set a really, really standard environment, Internet Explorer office suite. That's probably about it.
You know, they're only allowed to five websites kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you can do the testing, it's definitely worth playing with because you can mitigate a lot of attacks. But it's a hard sell because you don't know what it's going to do. So anyways, this big they've actually got a pretty good article on it. So, you know, it's worth exploring. And every time they do a release, they say, oh, we fixed a lot of the problems the previous one had with, you know, accidentally blocking and breaking stuff. But like I said, the last time I played with it, which was maybe a year ago, I broke Netflix. So I think I broke Skype too, now that I think about it. So it's like, you know.
Wow. All it does is turn on Windows Firewall and blocks all outgoing. Everything. There you go. Computer secure.
What's it do? Well, it makes your network card catch fire, actually.
Yeah.
And once it's melted the cable, you're considered secure. So
legit.
And the last thing I have for Digital Dojo, this is an interesting project that I had thrown at me. It's called PacketBeat.com. And it's a series of programs, but pretty much what they've done is they've written an agent that you deploy on your servers that captures network metadata, who connected to who, how much data was transmitted, what was the protocol kind of thing. I don't think it does full payload. You might be able to get it to do full payload. I haven't dug all the way through it yet. But pretty much it captures all this stuff on the server itself as opposed to like running a separate box with a span port. And then forwards it all on to a, well, they use Elasticsearch and Kibana for the processing and the interface, but basically it sends it all up to a central location so you can do NetFlow evaluation.
That's fucking awesome.
Without having to use a span port or switches that support it.
Yeah.
So it's a server agent for doing NetFlow, and it's open source. They've got all the major OSs supported, at least. They had all the major, they had all the big stuff supported, and you know they had on their suggestions for trying to compile it on your own for like BSD and stuff like that too. So, it's fairly young. I'm a little nervous. I'm thinking about deploying it where I work, but I'm a little nervous about it because the project's still pretty new. And whereas Elasticsearch is all right, you know, you're taking a little agent and putting it on all your servers, and it's still kind of in, you know, kind of beta-ish. It's not that I suspect any badware or anything like that or malware is in there. I'm just worried, you know, this thing's screwing with the network stack on a server. What happens if it has a memory leak? I
mean, yeah, exactly. No, so, I agree. That's kind of, you know, iffy, but
so
cool
test
idea.
It out on what you're doing. You know, make sure you get a good solid trial run in a QA environment, or set it up so that you can quickly kill it if it, you know, screws with your performance. But I wouldn't expect it to, because I expect it's probably just, you know, doing some sort of a local lib PCAP. But you never know. So it's still kind of young, but it's definitely worth investigating, especially if you need to get that NetFlow information and your architecture doesn't really support it.
I'm not familiar with Elasticsearch or Kibana. Do those do like cool graphs or something like that?
Yeah,
with
that's exactly
NetFlow?
What they do. Pull up the, if you want to see it, pull up their page and hit the view demo, and that it'll give you a Kibana interface, because you can actually throw other things at Elasticsearch and Kibana and make fancy graphs and HTML5 widgets, and like you can pull up their demo and drag their hosts around and rearrange how they're. So
I see.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah. Actually,
you know, it's Elasticsearch is just kind of a general data warehousing thing. So there's all kinds of different stuff you can do with those kind of things, and because it's a couple of different open source projects kind of strung together. So, you know, if you know Elasticsearch or Kibana, you can make your own displays and queries against the data. So, and it's got parsers built in for things like HTTP, SQL, a couple of other different protocols. So, because Packet Beat is actually the monitoring agent, and then they're just saying point it at Elasticsearch and Kibana, and they've got some configs already set up and ready for it, kind of thing. So,
yeah, man, that's
an interesting project. It's kind of interesting doing the packet capture on the server as opposed to on the network level.
I could definitely see there's some.
Oh, there's some big advantages.
I mean, it's easier, yeah, but
you don't have to worry about blowing out. You know, how do I monitor a 10 gig port on a 1 gig card?
Exactly.
You don't have to order the special hardware and shit like that. So,
right.
If you're a smaller shop or you don't have. You know, if you're doing nothing but cloud-based servers, like you're renting VPSs or Amazon's, you know, cloud boxes, you probably don't have packet-level access anyways. You know, you might be an all-web shop and just simply not have a switch to plug into to get this kind of stuff.
Right, or have older switches or maybe unmanaged switches that don't even have NetFlow.
Yeah, so... You might not be able to, you know, it might be the only way you could really get at some of the stuff. So, like I said, it's an interesting project. I'm not discounting it, but I am hesitating to throw it on some of my production boxes at work just because it's like, you know, I'd like to throw that on something a little less important and just see how it does first. But
right,
yeah,
network card is kind of critical.
Yeah. So, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. I believe the Missing Dialogues is still happening on Tuesdays. I'm pretty sure Suave is on a vision quest, so I have no idea when IHN is coming back.
He was channeling his inner redneck there and taking peyote while attending car accident festivals, I think.
Car Lost accident festivals?
Well, I don't know what they're called.
Demolition derbies.
You're called there you go.
Whatever those fucking crazy Canadians do.
Yeah. You know, huffing maple syrup.
Demolition derby on peyote? That could be an interesting weekend.
You know, this is horribly stereotypical. But I just envisioned Mounties on dog sleds trying to do a demolition derby.
Like, wow, somebody think of the horses.
I'm just like, you know, would dog sled-based demolition derby just be pit fighting? I mean, just...
But think of all the I'm sorrys you would hear.
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, after it was over, but still. So.
No, I see them colliding into each other. I'm sorry about that. You all right? Don't worry, I'll come around and finish you in a moment.
Suave is just going to come barreling in here at some point, screaming at us.
He'll be back with a new name and a new personality and probably a different height.
A different height. What did he do? Cut his legs off? I mean,
maple syrup's a hell of a drug, dude.
Got to pay for it somehow. He's got two legs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
You only need one.
How much maple syrup would a kidney give you?
I don't know, Madman. Take these two pills and call me tomorrow in a bucket of ice.
Bathtub of ice. You're not getting me with that twice.
Always check out the Galaxy 15 Radio site, even if it's horribly out of date. The Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit, the IRC channel, and Madman, I believe, is currently accepting smoke signals while badly impersonating an Indian on his roof.
Cherokee tracker, damn it. Cherokee track.
The headdress is made of plastic, dude. I mean, it's like a child's costume.
It's authentic. It's an authentic Native American headdress. I bought it from a dude that said, "How?"
He had an Italian accent,
and he was Asian.
Dark
who identified
skin,
as an American.
An Indian.
He was an Asian who had an Italian accent who only self-identified as a Native American through Tumblr.
Oh, shit. It's going.
He had an Ohio birth certificate. That's Native, damn it. Granted, I think it said for Steve, and his name was Joe. But the paperwork was there.
Oh, shit.
And that, Your Honor, is how Madman ended up on racial incitement charges.
I've only got one way to handle this. Only one.